1320 WILS. My next guest, author of the new book, What Your Financial Advisor Isn't Telling You, the 10 Essential Truths You Need to Know About Your Money. Liz Davidson joins us. She's the founder and CEO of Financial Finesse. Liz, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and what? How did you get into the financial world? What led you into this area?
I was a hedge fund manager and was selling, you know, the hedge fund to high net worth investors, and really discovered, wow, these people don't know what they're doing. I mean, these were very smart, sophisticated people who were great at their jobs and careers and so forth, but didn't know, you know, the basics of personal finance. And this was during the dot-com era, and I realized, wow, there's a problem here, and there needs to be a resource. If high net worth people are having trouble making these decisions, what about the rest of us? And there needs to be a resource for that. And so I started Financial Finesse in 1999 to do unbiased financial education, no conflict of interest, as an employee benefit for employees all over the country.
And what, in terms of bias, how much bias is out there if you're trying to get some financial advice? What are you usually dealing with?
Well, it's all flavors. So it's everything from commission-based kind of brokers who are really selling investments or insurance products and really looking at it from a sales perspective. So not really looking at the overall financial picture. It's how much money can I make off of this client? And unfortunately, that's the legacy of the industry. It's gotten much better over the years, but that still exists. And then there are those that, you know, are somewhere in the middle. And then there are fee-only advisors who have, I think, the best incentive because you're not paying commissions on the advice they provide, so that, you know, they are incentivized to give you advice straight up because they're paid by the hour.
At a straight fee, and then you're getting their opinions on it. But, I mean, is there a certain responsibility an advisor has to steer you in the right direction? I mean, professionally responsible?
Well, you know, there really should be, and that's one thing that is actually being considered right now by Congress is a law that would make advisors providing retirement plan advice at least fiduciaries, meaning they have to act in the best interest of their clients. Mm-hmm. Right now, that is not necessarily the case unless they decide proactively to become a fiduciary. Right now, you actually could hang up a shingle and say you're a financial advisor. And that is perfectly legal. If you didn't sell any financial products or services, but you wanted to say, hey, I'm a financial advisor, I can give you all the financial advice in the world, you don't actually need any licensing training for any of that. And obviously, that's a major problem.
I'm talking to Liz Davidson, the brand new book, What Your Financial Advisor Isn't Telling You. Well, what is the number one thing they don't tell you?
Probably the most important thing is that they are not your best financial services provider in most cases. Your employer is.
Really?
So
how so?
Maximize your employee benefits because you have tax advantages. The employers typically have lower fees, and they often match or subsidize some of the benefits.
Yeah, but is the employer going to give you financial advice? Or?
Well, that's a big trend, and it's actually moving from technical financial advice to workplace financial wellness, which is unbiased education. So you can call planners that are employed by independent companies. They don't sell financial products or services, but they have the knowledge to help you make the right decisions, and they can be a sounding board for any planner you work with, you know, to provide you with investment products.
Interesting. But what about getting someone, you know, that can be with you for many, many years, someone you develop, you know, a relationship and can trust? I mean, does that happen anymore?
Well, you know, this is a very cynical answer, but I think a lot of people felt that way about Bernie Madoff prior to, you know, everything coming down. So
you don't believe just because you know someone for a while that necessarily is grounds to trust them so much? Or?
I think certainly it's grounds to trust them more than someone you haven't met, but I think you really, no one cares more about your money than you do. So you always have to take that point of view, the same way you have to take that point of view about your health. You know, we don't expect a doctor to make us live to 100 years old. I mean, we know we have to take care of ourselves in order for that to happen. Mm-hmm. But somehow people kind of delegate their financial security often to advisors, which isn't the right thing to do. Period.
Yeah, you should have a clue what's happening. I'm talking to Liz Davidson. The book, by the way, What Your Financial Advisor Isn't Telling You. So you said the one thing is your employer may be where you should be turning to your financial advice. But if that's not happening, what else should you be on the lookout for what you're not being told?
Well, obviously, they're not going to tell you pay off your high interest rate debt instead of, you know, investing. So, you know, it's a guaranteed return when you have a high interest rate debt of 15, 25% or even greater. That's a guaranteed return of that amount when you pay it off versus you're not going to get that from an advisor. You're not going to get a guaranteed return of that amount. If you ever pitch that, that advisor is a bogus advisor. You should run, don't walk right away from him or her. So that's another one. The other thing, you know, they don't deal with one of the most important aspects of finance, which is relationships and how you manage money with your partner and how you set that up and plan for goals together. Hmm. You know, that's important. It's not wrong that they don't deal with that. They're not paid to be counselors, but it's something you need to take control of because the decisions you make with your spouse and the way you manage your money together has likely a greater impact than any single investment.
Really? Give me an example, because I guess you hope your spouse isn't going to go spend all the money, right? But in terms of managing it together, how's that different than managing your own money?
Well, either they can be a positive influence or a negative. So if you have a relationship with someone that's very open and will help you stay focused on your joint goals, mm-hmm. They'll be a positive influence on you. If you have a relationship with someone who obviously is a spender, is not willing to share the details of their financial situation, is bringing a lot of debt into the relationship, that can really damage.
So do you believe you should know every detail of your spouse's finances?
I think on Match.com, you should post your FICO score. No, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, let's say you're married.
You
should you really know
every detail? Yeah. I think you need to know, I mean, maybe not down to the penny, but you really need to know, you know, what is your net worth as a couple? What is your debt as a couple? What are your financial goals?
Yeah. Should you know what your spouse's 401k, like how that's doing?
Absolutely. You should know all of that. Hmm. Now, do you need to report that you bought Wrigley's gum at the 7-Eleven? No. I mean, I think, you know, there's a point where it becomes, you know, a little draconian, but... Yeah. In general, you need to be on the same page, and there needs to be transparency there.
It's a tricky thing because suddenly then, your spouse goes out and spends a couple $100, suddenly that can be an argument. Is that the kind of thing you want to have insight on, those kinds of things too, you're saying?
Yeah, we work a lot with couples, so what we counsel them to do is to decide, you know, what is that amount that you both can spend and over the course of a month, and it's okay. It's part of the budget, and it's your fun money. And often you can, you know, split up your accounts, right? So you can have a joint account, which covers, you know, your household expenses, and then you can have separate accounts. And at that point, if it's your separate account, that's your account, and you can decide how you spend the money that, you know, you direct to that account.
That makes sense. So you're the CEO of Financial Finesse. It's the country's largest provider of unbiased financial education programs. People that work all day, I mean, how much time do you have to invest, would you say, in learning about finance if that's not your job?
Well, I would say one very, very good place to start is the book, What Your Financial Advisor Isn't Telling You. It's a pretty minimal investment of time, and it's really a roadmap to the 10 things you need to do day in and day out to become financially secure. The other, you know, the thing is, it's really kind of that 80-20 rule that if you focus on key principles like living within your means, automating your finances so that you don't have to make proactive decisions about saving, you're doing it automatically, working with your spouse, keeping your debt under control. I mean, there's these key principles that if you focus on those, you're going to ultimately get there.
There's gonna be, that's real old school, though. Live within your means, huh?
It's old school, but you know what? There's some cool new school ways to do it. I don't know, maybe couponing you wouldn't consider necessarily new school, but doing it with friends and making it fun, making it a game. I mean, I have friends that coupon. I have friends that share clothes and shoes and so forth. And so you find a way to integrate it into your life that's painless and even fun.
Within your means,
not,
really. Did you say you share shoes with friends, too?
Yeah,
That's pretty personal. I don't know if guys can do that. You know, shoes can get kind of smelly sometimes. I don't know if I'd want to share them.
Yeah, it probably is more of a woman thing. But I will tell you, you know, we spend far too much money on shoes we wear 3 or 4 times at most.
Makes sense. Yep. So why not give it to somebody else if you've worn it just twice? Liz,
buy in your closet.
It's very smart. Liz Davidson, founder CEO of Financial Finesse, her brand new book, What Your Financial Advisor Isn't Telling You, the 10 Essential Truths You Need to Know About Your Money. Liz, thank you very much.
Thank you.